Good morning and welcome to Daily Sabbath. We'll begin our service with a prayer, so I invite you to pray with me. Gracious and merciful God, we who have lost our sense and our senses, our touch, our smell, our vision of who we are, we who frenetically force and press all things without rest for body or spirit, we call a halt. We want to rest, we need to rest, and allow the earth to rest. We need to reflect and to rediscover the mystery that lives in us, that is the ground of every unique expression of life. We declare today a holy day, a space of quiet, for simple being and letting be, and for recovering the great forgotten truths. I invite you to stand as we sing our opening hymn, number 358 in the red hymnal, 358. We'll sing verses 1 through 3 and 5, 1 through 3 and 5 of hymn number 358. comes from the Gospel of Mark, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 9. And as I read this text, it's important to keep in mind the context. So right now, today, we are in Tuesday of Holy Week, which is kind of in between Palm Sunday and the events of Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Resurrection Sunday. So this text in the Gospel of Mark happens in that in-between time. So that's really important for us as we think about what this text might have as a message for us today. It was 2 days before the Passover and the festival of the unleavened bread. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. For they said, "Not during the festival, or there may be a riot among the people." While he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard, and she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some were there who said to one another in anger, "Why was the ointment wasted in this way?" For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and the money given to the poor. And they scolded her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me. For you will always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her." Holy wisdom, holy word, thanks be to God. So as we all know, for Christians, Holy Week is the holiest week of the Christian year. The week begins with Palm Sunday, it ends with Resurrection Sunday. Many Christians probably know the basic events of this week, but have you ever paused to notice how many different human emotions are present throughout the biblical drama that unfolds this week? If we look just at how the Gospel of Mark tells the story of Jesus' final week, it is an emotional roller coaster containing the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. It begins with Palm Sunday, as we know, and as we just experienced this past Sunday. Jesus' triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem. Emotions were high as the crowds gathered. There was excitement, anticipation, triumph, joy, praise, and loud cries of Hosanna. The energy of the crowd was palpable. But then, several days later, when Jesus shared that last meal with his closest friends before his death, we come to a more intimate setting, a gathering of friends who had been journeying together for the better part of a year. And yet, at that meal, there was love, but there was also a warning of betrayal, denial. There was blessing, there was sadness, there was gratitude, there was uncertainty. And after that meal, the group moved to the place that they called Gethsemane, where Jesus knelt down to pray multiple times that God would take this path away from him. So there was fear, there was anticipation, there was a worry, a concern about suffering. And then the disciples fell asleep. So there was a sense from Jesus of being betrayed, of being abandoned. There was a sense of exhaustion, of dread. And at the end of that night, as Mark tells the story in verse 50 of chapter 14, it says, "And all of Jesus' disciples left him and ran away." Abandonment, desertion, resignation, perhaps loneliness. The disciples were not to return to Jesus again in the Gospel of Mark. And then Jesus was beat, he was spit upon, there was humiliation. And then later that evening, Peter denied Jesus three times when asked by three different witnesses. And then he broke down, sobbing. There was shame, there was guilt, there was embarrassment, there was sadness, there was doubt. And then we move to Good Friday, the death of Jesus by crucifixion, the trial where the crowds were shouting, "Crucify him." There was hatred, there was anger, there was judgment, there was mockery. The passersby yelled insults, and Jesus himself cried out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And then he let out a loud cry, resolve, abandonment, pain, suffering, grief. And then the gospel ends on Resurrection Sunday with an empty tomb and with some women going to anoint Jesus' body, but he was not there. There was surprise. There was terror. There was dread. There was hope. There was fear. And the Gospel of Mark, unlike some of the other gospels, ends with this. The women were overcome with terror and dread, and they fled from the tomb, and they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. So in the Gospel of Mark, in the events from Palm Sunday to Resurrection Sunday, the people in Jerusalem, including even Jesus himself at times, experienced a hugely wide range of emotions. Excitement, anticipation, triumph, joy, praise, friendship, love, betrayal, denial, sadness, anger, fear, exhaustion, dread, abandonment, desertion, resignation, humiliation, shame, guilt, embarrassment, sadness, gratitude, doubt, judgment, pain, grief, surprise, terror, wonder, hope. When we think of Holy Week, our associations with it are probably more theological than emotional. The stories remind us how God acted in human history through Jesus to bring salvation to the world, to you and to me, through Jesus' death and resurrection. But what are we to make of all of these raw emotions that are so evident in this story? And might there be some value in engaging the story on an emotional level in addition to a theological one? So if we hone in just on the emotions that Jesus felt over the course of the week, it is quite a range. Again, anticipation, clarity, love, generosity, sadness, abandonment, resolve, fear, anguish. He had been telling his disciples that he would suffer. He knew that that time was near. But even so, in Mark's telling of the story, Jesus experienced this huge range of emotions as he was preparing to face this final week. With all of that preparation, that did not save either Jesus or his disciples from experiencing everything that was to come on an emotional level that week. Now, it can be an easy detail to miss in the sweeping narrative of Holy Week, with so many big and dramatic events. But Mark takes care to give us two very different models for how we might respond to the difficult reality of suffering and death in Jesus' story, and by extension, in our own lives. Tucked in between Palm Sunday and the Last Supper is this story about an unnamed woman who poured very costly ointment on Jesus' head. And while some who were present questioned her lavish act, Jesus responded quite differently. He said, "She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her." This is such a curious detail, because Jesus does not say this about any of the other named 12 disciples. And Jesus' statement raises a lot of questions that we can't answer about this woman. How did she know that Jesus was about to die? Had she met him before? Had she heard him preaching somewhere? Had she been following him throughout his ministry? What was she feeling? Was she a woman of means? How did she have so much money to buy the costly ointment that she used to anoint him? And what prompted Jesus to say that she alone would be remembered wherever the good news was proclaimed in the whole world? And what was her name? We don't know. To understand the significance of this event that takes place in between Palm Sunday and the Last Supper, it is worth remembering how the 12 named disciples, who had been following Jesus around for the better part of a year, responded when they were confronted with the frightening reality of Jesus' impending suffering and death. Before he even got to the cross, they all abandoned him. They deserted him, and they fled, and they went into hiding. Peter even denied knowing Jesus at all when he was asked 3 different times. And Judas directly betrayed Jesus into the hands of those who would have him killed. So the disciple Mark intended for us to emulate was not one of the 12 who deserted Jesus during his time of great suffering. Their response to suffering and death was primarily that of avoidance and denial. Instead, the disciple that Mark most wanted us to pay attention to, the one whose actions he underscored by recording Jesus' promise that what she had done would be told in remembrance of her, was this unnamed woman who anointed Jesus' body before his burial. She met the full emotion of the moment. The anticipation, the clarity, the love, the sadness, the abandonment, the resolve, the fear, and the anguish by moving toward it, not by moving away from it. And by thinking of a way to demonstrate the kindness, the care, the generosity, and the tenderness to Jesus as he was preparing to suffer and to die. Her encounter with Jesus is one of the most intimate moments in Mark's gospel. So the journey through Holy Week each year reminds us that pain and suffering and death are a part of what it means to be human. It frees us to feel and express the many varied emotions that arise within us in times of pain and hardship and suffering and even death. And it encourages us to move toward those who are suffering rather than going away. So in the period between Palm Sunday and Jesus' death and resurrection, we who know the gospel are instructed never to forget a particular biblical story. This is a story that we are meant to see ourselves in. That is why the woman does not have a name. She is us. She is the disciple we are to be and to continually become. She is the one who shows us how to follow Jesus on the path of generosity, presence, and grace, even and especially in the face of suffering. So today, may you, may we all, remember her. And may we be to someone else who is suffering a witness like her to God's overflowing, abundant, and generous love. Amen. We'll close by standing and singing one verse of our final hymn, number 808.